My name's Arinda, I'm an addict.
Hi Arinda.
Quite nervous as well at the minute. I wouldn't normally have been sitting up here, but the woman who's supposed to do the chair phoned me today and said she was really, really unwell. She had the flu, like someone else did a couple of weeks ago, and she couldn't make it. So it's been a bit of a frantic afternoon, and I've asked people in this meeting to do the chair, and they wouldn't. So here I am, being of service. And I do service here anyway. I'm the female chair finder, so I just need to breathe for a minute. Right, I'm here to carry a message of recovery, and I can do that because I'm clean. I've been clean for a few years. I'm still young in recovery, but I have stopped using, and I have lost the desire to use, and I'm now going to feel really emotional because my life has changed massively, and it's all to do with NA. It's the work I've had to put in. It's because I've had to be open-mindedness, which I'm not all the time, have the willingness and the honesty to kind of really look at myself and my addiction and where it has taken me, and the madness in my head, which is this illness and where it can still take me today. But I have a program that I kind of work in my life, so it's not so bad, actually. It's bit of a mad head. I've been trying to sit here and think, what am I going to say? But there's so much noise in my head, I could just, you know, I just thought, oh, give up, forget it. It's my higher power carrying me through, and that's that. But it is good to be sitting here. It's good to be sitting and looking at so many addicts who are here, who obviously want to be clean and want recovery. I used drugs for a long time, and I loved them for a while. Yeah, I did. I really did enjoy it. It gave me a way out. It was a solution. It kind of gave me the confidence that I guess I felt I needed, because I felt I wasn't enough. Why I felt I wasn't enough, I'm not sure. I had issues in my childhood, for sure, definitely. But that's not what makes me an addict. My sister comes from the same family. She's not an addict. My brother's got issues, but he's not an addict. He's definitely got issues, though, but bless him. And, you know, there's dysfunction in my family. There's codependency that gets played out, and all kinds of other stuff. But if I'm really honest, it's not like that today. But I'll go in about my relationships with my family in a minute. But I had a bit of fun. I was a bit mad, a bit unmanageable. When I looked at that step one, eventually, when I came into recovery and kind of looked at the whole powerlessness thing and the whole unmanageability thing, I realised I was unmanageable before I started using drugs, actually, because it was in my thinking. I wasn't very good at friendships, I wasn't very good at my relationship with my family, I wasn't very good at school, I was quite mad, really. Kind of chopped and changed jobs, I kind of was never settled, I had a lot of that irritability, discontent. It's always been there. It's only now that I know it was there. I didn't know it then. I look back in hindsight and I can see that it was always there in my life. I left home at a young age, went back, left again, went back, left again. But wherever I went, I kind of took me with me. And I always had a sense of loneliness, a sense of I wasn't enough, a sense of whatever I was doing was never enough. And throughout all of that, for a long time, I don't know, drugs just seemed to kind of enable me to carry on. You know, I had fun with it, or so I thought. And the kind of the misery and the shit that came afterwards just seemed to be part of it. So I just accepted it was part of it. But in the end, it just got really bad where I couldn't not use, and I really wanted to stop using. And it was, the fun had gone, the friendships had kind of gone. And I couldn't really bear to see anyone, to be honest, because of the guilt and the shame. Do you know what I mean? I just had this guilt, and I just felt worthless, and I was looking ill. But I was still working. I had a lot of that whole thing. A lot of my denial was around because I was working for a long time. And that enabled me to kind of carry on using, because I thought, well, I'm not that bad. And I worked in the drugs field, which I know a lot of people seem to do when they get into recovery. But I did it before. And I'd get into work really late, and I'd be stoned, and I'd be trying to hide my eyes from everyone because they were pinned, and I'd be sick, and I'd be kind of sitting in the back office, and you know, and I had a lot of I had a lot of guilt and shame around that, and I worked with families, and you know, I had a lot of decisions in my, you know, in my hands really, and that's not a great feeling, to be honest. And in the end, I just couldn't do anything. In the end, I couldn't work. In the end, I just couldn't do fuck all, really, to be honest. And I wanted a way out, and I'd kind of had enough. And I went to therapy, so I thought that would be the answer. And after about 5 months, she said, I can't help you. I can't help you stop using. I can help you with your issues, which is a separate issue from being an addict. But I can't help you with you stopping using drugs. I was devastated. I was just like, please, I can't, you know, what am I going to do? And I knew that if I wasn't careful, I'd have to go through treatment, and that was just like, there's no way I was going to do that, because I was scared about my parents finding out, even though I didn't see them. They knew there was something wrong. I was looking more and more, I was just looking terrible, and they were just like, what's wrong with you? And in the end, I just stopped seeing them, because it was easier. So I thought, if they don't see me, then they can't, you know, that was my way of kind of dealing with them not being in pain. Anyway, cut a really long story short, my therapist suggested NA, and I knew of NA, and I was like, no, I'm not an addict, I don't need to go there. But I did start to think about it. Eventually I phoned the helpline, and eventually I came to a meeting in a weird, kind of weird and wonderful way. I'd tried to cluck it out a few times. I'd got somebody to send me their subject text script that they were on up in Nottingham, and tried to kind of do all that. I did all kinds of fucking nonsense, to be honest. But I could not stay stopped. Even if I stopped for a day, I couldn't stay stopped. The next day I would use. If I got 2 days clean, I'd reward myself with using. Do you know what I mean? It was just mad. I've done really well. Let's go and get a bag. You know, and it's just a really, really horrible place to be. Do you know what I mean? I couldn't have a shower without being in pain. It's just horrible. It's just really, really, really lonely, miserable, isolated, shit, despair. It's horrible. So I phoned up this friend who'd sent me the subject text and said, look, I'm going to go and use. I can't do this. I've just, you know, I can't. I don't know what to do. I'm kind of beside myself. And they suggested I come up there. So I did. I got in my car, drove up to Nottingham, and went to my first meeting. And there was these two Indian guys who walked in. It was really weird. One had a turban, who now lives in London, actually, or near London. And that was it. I was just quite blown away. I just kind of needed that, because I was scared of going somewhere else where I wouldn't fit in, and I'd felt like that my whole life. And I thought, God, I don't want to kind of go somewhere, and it's not going to work, and it's not going to happen, and I'm going to feel like I don't belong. And just having this person walk in was just massive for me. It was huge. And we spoke, and we talked, and he shared his story with me, and I was kind of quite blown away, and I didn't remember anything else about the meeting, because I was too self-conscious and worried that everyone was looking at me, which they weren't. I wasn't that important. And I kind of went to a few meetings, stayed up in Nottingham, come back to London, and just got on my life again and thought, I don't know about NA, I'm not sure, kind of went back into that sort of space. And then when things got really painful, I dragged myself to a meeting, and it kind of went, it was like that for a while, and I decided I could drink and I could smoke weed, because you all didn't know what you were talking about, and you didn't know me. I was very different from all of you. So I decided I was going to keep drinking and keep smoking weed, and I picked up my first 30, 60, 90 day curings, and I wasn't clean. And then things just got really bad. And when they say you're as sick as your secrets, it's really very true. Eventually I couldn't live with that, and it was just really bothering me, because I was getting too much identification with other people in the meetings, and I thought, well, maybe I could be quite the same as people in these rooms, or similar. All the stuff about the head and all the kind of, there was just too much identification, and I just thought, right, maybe. And then I found myself nicking this friend's subutex, who I ended up getting in a relationship, which I didn't even want. Do you know what I mean? I don't know. I was just so lonely. Anyway, one thing led to another, and then I ended up in this relationship that I really didn't want to be in. And it just got more and more painful, and I kind of got rid of him, nicked his subutex, got really sick, then went and used, and thought, what the fuck am I doing? Do you know what I mean? This is mad. I just could not sit with all this pain, and I thought, I can't. Anyway, meeting and said I'd had enough. Shared in newcomers' time and said, look, I really, really want out. I don't want to use anymore and I'm willing to try a new way of life. And I got a commitment at that meeting. It was a Sunday night and the committee held me together. Bless them, they let me cry on their shoulders and rant and rave about politics and rant and rave about all the injustices in the world. And they kept saying to me, do the steps. That's what you need to worry about. And I'd be like, yeah, I'll do that. You know, fucking hell, give me a chance. And I shouldn't really be swearing, but anyway. And there's a reason for that. Thank you. Anyway, so I kind of stuck with that meeting, and a couple of people at that meeting took me to other meetings, and I found this meeting, and I really liked this meeting. It was upstairs then, and it was busy and it was buzzing, and I could sit in a corner and watch everyone, and I really enjoyed that. I kind of really enjoyed these mad, happy recovering addicts kind of buzzing around, and it was just great. Do you know what I mean? And I sat in the back and I watched everyone, and eventually I got to know people, and now this is my home group, and it has been for what, I don't know, the second year running now. But eventually I got a sponsor. I kind of went through four sponsors initially in the first, I don't know, 8 months. One was two lapses a day, very, very lapses a day, of course. Like, don't worry, take it really easy. And I was mad, you know, full of madness in my head, clean. Nothing to stop the madness, not funny at all. I wanted to smash my head off a wall, like, every day. So I got rid of her, and then someone else took me through the steps really quickly. It was kind of the Mother Fellowship way, and it was very quick. And I got to step three with him and decided I wasn't going to do step four with a bloke. That was just no way, and he was fine with that. But he did give me a daily programme. You know, he gave me suggestions, praying in the morning, doing a gratitude list, praying in the evening, reading literature every day. And it just kind of calmed the head down, which really, really helped me, because that's what I needed, because there was too much madness in the head, and it gave me something to do every day. It just kept me in recovery mode every day. That's what I needed. And through that, I just started to put pen to paper a little bit. I came across this book the other night, actually, that I started to write in, and I can tell myself that I didn't really do much when it comes to, you know, the program, and I didn't really put pen to paper. But I was looking at this, and the dates were 2005, 2006 onwards, and actually I did put pen to paper, and there's some really painful stuff actually in there about my feelings and where I was at and what I was struggling with, and it did help. It got some of that stuff out, enabled me to stay another day clean. And it was quite like, I was like, I forgot about all of that. So anyway, eventually I found the sponsor that I've got now, and I love this woman dearly. She's very funny. She laughs at me a lot, because I do take myself way too seriously. The steps have been a slow process for me. I haven't kind of zoomed through them, but I am consistent. And I consistently work my program on a daily basis. The three main things I do keep with me every day is that honesty, open-mindedness and willingness. And I try and practice that everywhere else. I've turned up for myself and for recovery, and that happens in my life elsewhere. You know, I turn up for my family, I turn up for friends, you know, people who I care about. I try and carry this message to others. I do H&I commitment, which scares me every time I do it, but I leave there so emotional and so kind of fulfilled, I cannot begin to tell you. I've got a lot in my life. I have got some external stuff, no money, I have to say, but I have got a lot of external stuff. But what I've got internally, I value so much. I can turn up for people. I've got love to offer to people. I receive love from people. My family recently have helped me out with a few things, which the long and short of it is I've changed. Through my changing, they're changing with me, and they're accepting me for who I am, and through that I'm accepting them for who they are. That I treasure greatly. They trust me. My sister, my nieces have stayed with me. I know I'm going on a bit, I'm going to finish on this, because for me this is really, really important. And I know a lot of people don't get that family relationships back in recovery, because everyone's story is different. But for me this is really, really important. I couldn't even turn up to family members' birthdays because of my using. My nieces have stayed with me. you know, my dad's lent me his car, my sister, you know, there's so much trust, basically, is the long and short of it. And they know that they can rely on me. So I don't carry that sense of guilt and shame around anymore, and I had that for a long time. I know I'm a responsible member of my family, of society. I don't agree with everything that goes on in society, and I'm all right with that. But I'm a part of life, and I'm a part of life because I'm here in NA. I work a program, and you know what? I live my life. Anyway, I'll shut up there. Thanks.